Okay, we're going to discuss a lot this week about what real Jewish life is about. You know, when the parasha ends with the end of Yaakov's life, Yaakov was the prototypical Jew in a lot of ways, the progenitor of all of Am Yisrael. We're called Bnei Yisrael, we're called the sons of Yaakov, the sons of Yisrael. So a lot of what Rav Hirsch talks about is understanding as Yaakov at the end of his life summarizes his life. That's a lot of what's going on in Vayechi. He summarizes his life, certainly in the beginning, and transferring it on to his children. So there's a lot of discussion about what it means to have a complete Jewish life. But interestingly, you know, we didn't have a shiur last week because I was in Israel, but the first piece that Rav Hirsch talks about in Vayechi actually refers back to something that Yaakov said in last week's parsha. So it could be Yotze a little bit the week that we missed. Yaakov makes a very peculiar speech at the first time he meets with Paro. That's at the end of Parshas Vayigash. So if you take a look, let's just start with that for a minute, because that's where I start from. So if you look on page 138, so Paro says to Yaakov in Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Paro Yaakov, Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha. How many are the days of the years of your life? A little bit of a peculiar question to ask. And if that was a peculiar question to ask, Yaakov's response is even more peculiar. Yaakov responds and says, Vayomer Yaakov el Paro, Yimei Shnei Megurai, the days of my years of my gerus, of my sojourn on this earth, Shloshim u'ma'as shana, 130 years, Ma'at v'ra'im, they were few and bad. Hayu Yimei Shnei Chayai, V'lo Hisigo es Yimei Shnei Chayav Osai, they did not reach the levels of the days of the years of my fathers, Bimei Megurehem, in their years. So Rav Hirsch is going to begin, again, the first comment I have from Rav Hirsch is really from last week's Parsha, which luckily we didn't learn together, but that's really the introduction to the beginning of this week's Parsha. That's what I'm doing. Let's take a look and see what Rav Hirsch says. Hamonesh shanim eino mechashev yamim. Usually, if you count years, you don't really count days. If you're counting the years of something, you don't count the days. Rak anashim nivcharim. Only very special people. Yachshavu kol yom v'yirbo tafkin miyuchad. Very special people, very special Jews count every single day. And they see a very unique and special job in every single day. Ha'adam ha'amiti. The real Jew. The real person, Eino Chai Shanim El Yamim, he does not live years, rather he lives days. Kach B'Tfilas Moshe, Ba HaHistoria Kula, just like in Moshe's famous prayer that we recite every Shabbos morning, Ba HaHistoria Kula Gazav Overes Kachalom, Hu Omer im Elav Shanim Kiyom Esmol Elav Shanim Be'enecha Kiyom Esmol Kiyavor Vashmura Balayla. Right, you may remember that pasuk we say it every Shabbos morning. 1,000 years in Hashem's eyes is like the day passed yesterday. Ein Hayamim Nachshav Leklum. Rak B'Makom Shehatora Ivsala Mishkan Umase HaAdam Yuadim U'Mukdashim Lavodas Hashem. But a life that is dedicated to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sham Yichya Adam Yamin, such a life, man lives days. Hayom hu b'melo kocho, hayom hu yifal, lo yasim lev lahem sheikh l'totos, yom zehu manu l'shem Hashem v'lo yovel l'netzach. To me, this is a very, very, very powerful idea, and I can tell you that every Shabbos morning, when I say these words, the following words, these words, Limnos Yameinu Kenoda, about maybe 3-4 years ago, maybe it was 5-6 years ago, maybe it was 8-9 years ago, I don't even remember when I say what in this year anymore. Joel will hopefully remind me. But we had a whole shiur on this pasuk once. Limnos Yameinu Kenoda v'navi levav chachma. We say it every Shabbos morning in the expanded Pesukei Dezimra that we say on Shabbos morning. This pasuk always is very, very, has always a very powerful message for me. Limnos Yameinu Kenoda. That to be wise, to be hodah, ladas, you want to be somebody who is hodah, limnos yameinu, who is to count every day, to count every minute, to count every moment. In Judaism, we don't have this just thing that like just time is supposed to pass us by. You know, just to let time pass you by, to count your years, how many years this year, that year, the other year. In Judaism, we don't count years, we count days. Not only do we count days, we count moments of each day. Every moment of each day is pregnant with the ability for achievement, for closeness to God, for mitzvos, for good deeds. We're not just, our conception, when we don't have this conception of just like, you know, just hanging out on the beach and letting time just pass us by. That's not a Jewish idea. And that's why when Paro and Yaakov are talking, they're talking about days. How many are the days of the years of your life? Paro asks him. V'kach amar gam Paro. Take a look. Kama yomim chayisa b'shnei chayacha. That's what Paro meant to ask him, according to Rav Hirsch. I don't want to know how long you lived, how many years you lived. I want to know, what did you accomplish with the days of the years of your life? That was what was meant by Paro's question to Yaakov. Uvahatzigo kach ha-sheila sohu magale es harushem ha-amok she'asas alav d'musa shal Yaakov. Rav Hirsch says, with this question, you see the incredible deep impression and profound impression that just having Yaakov meet up with Paro, just that meeting, what a deep impression that meeting meant. Like, apparently Paro was so blown away by just looking at Yaakov and seeing him, he said to him, like, what have you achieved in your life? How many days, what did you make of your days? The question of Hirsch understands to mean, what did you accomplish? Did you live your life? Tell me how you lived your life, making use of every moment, every day. Kama yimei shnei chayecha. That's what Paro meant by the question. And look at Paro, Yaakov's answer. Again, we're going backwards to Vayigash in order to understand the beginning of Vayichi. B'tshuvaso, mavdil Yaakov ben chayim levein megurim. In his answer, Yaakov separates between just real life and just, you know, dwelling somewhere. Shaltania, you may shnechaya, you asked me about my days. So in a humble, modest way, Yaakov responds and says, Lo chayisi harbe. I really was not able to achieve that much. Ach garti ale adamos meo shloshim shana. Yeah, I sojourned, I inhabited this earth for 130 years. But if you want to know what the days of my life that I really accomplished in those years, not that much. Yimei hashanim she'uchal lekor lahem chaye. The days within those years that I could actually call myself as actually having lived, bahem milasius tafkidi b'mluo, the days that I really feel like I achieved my fullest potential, hayu rak ma'atim, they were actually only very few. V'dafkehim hayu ra'im, and those days actually were filled with bitterness. Malei mirirus v'da'aga. They were filled with bitterness and worry. Hutal alaya tafkid l'kayim batzara et chovot hatzara. I had a lot of tzaras, and my life was filled with addressing a lot of difficult times. Ein lahashvas es tochen chayayim tochen chayav osai. You can't compare the productivity of my life with the productivity of my father and my grandfather. My father got to sit and learn. My grandfather was Makari of the world. Me, I had bitter sorrows and I had to basically try to tread water. And I didn't do such a darn good job of that. That's the impression that Rav Hirsch says from Yaakov. But don't worry, there's going to be an end to the story. Hang on a second. Heim chayu yoser. My father and my grandfather, they really lived their days. Me, I had a bunch of sorrows and basically barely treaded. Kol yimei megurim hayu chayim. Now you see new pshat in the pasuk. We'll see it inside a second. V'heim zachu l'male as tafkid chayim b'tanoim shel osher. Furthermore, not only did they accomplish so much more than me, but they were actually able to accomplish most of their lives without the tsaros that I had to go with. They actually had more calm lives. Ein zu tluna al miyuch nosav. Now, Rehersh says, this is not Yaakov complaining about the fact that he's only lived fewer years than his parents. Ela anava. It's his humility. Bahashkifo achora. As he looks backwards at his parents' lives compared to his. Al erkam hamusari shel hachayim she'avru alav. Wow. So that's the way, that's the way Rav Hirsch understands Yaakov's surprising and difficult soliloquy at the end of Parshas Vayigash, last week's Parsha, where he talks to Paro about how Ma'at Ve'Royim Hayu Yimei Shnei Chayai. Rav Hirsch understands that in the words Yimei Shnei Chayai. Oh. But now let's take it to the beginning of Parshas Vayechi. So Parshas Vayechi Smucha L'Shel Fanel Lo Afsakas HaParsha Regila Im Nizkar Ki Shvas Reshana Ha'umuras Kan Ha'yushnos HaShal Vayechidos Shal Yaakov V'hin Yichol Sefol Heichashev Kepri Kol Chayav She'avru V'ada Efshar Letzapos She'hein Tuvlatna Al Yidei Parsha Miuchedes Hey, Adrashal Parshas U'Balo Amdenu Ki Shvas Reshana Eila Kulos Anam Mecheshman HaPrati Ach Mibichina Lu'umit Ha'yu Hein HaChashuvot Pachot. Says Rav Hirsch, you may be familiar with the fact that Parshas Vayechi is the only Parsha in the Torah that's Stuma. It's a Parsha Stuma. There's no break in the Chumash to indicate the break. So Rav Hirsch says, you might have thought that Dafka here would make the most sense to have a break because these last 17 years of Yaakov's life were the only calm and peaceful ones that he had throughout his entire life, so it would make sense to make a break before them. However, says Rav Hirsch, that is absolutely not the case. And he's actually playing off this commentary that he said at the end of last week's parsha. And he says, Dafka shnos chayav hakashim v'hamedukaim. It's Dafka those years about which Yaakov made, you know, said, I really didn't accomplish that much. Dafka those years of trials and tribulations and challenge, not having his son, fighting with Esav, all the issues that he had to deal with, Bahen Amad ben Isayon Liskos B'Shem Yisrael, fighting the angel. It was those years that he withstood the challenges and difficulties and pressures and trials and tribulations of life to merit the name Yisrael. V'lehiyos ra'oilo b'soch tochan shel goral Yaakov hein hein shehiknu Yaakov es chashivuso ha'le'umit ha'nitzchit. It was those years of struggle and fight and trial that actually acquired for Yaakov his name and his national significance as the father of the Jewish people. It was actually those, the eternal, everlasting importance, national importance. The last 17 years were just the conclusion, just the final act in the play. Yemei HaSimcha V'Haschar HaTov, the 17 years that he had the chance to merit that good fortune. Mikan Gam Aloshnam Yuchedes Vayihi Yemei. Right, let's look at the pasuk. Vayihi Yaakov Beres Yisrael Shvaas Veishana, but Vayihi Yemei Yaakov Shtei Chayav, the days of his life Lemnos Yameinu Kein Oda, 130 years, even more. 147. The picture of the life of Yaakov was one complete whole. Oh, look earlier. So this pasuk is coming to disagree with that which Yaakov, in his humility, uttered to Paro 17 years previous. It's coming to disagree with this. Says the Torah, no, Yaakov. We understand how you and your humility said, what did I really accomplish in my life? I really didn't accomplish anything. My father and my grandfather accomplished a lot more. The Torah here is coming to say, by the Parsha Stuma, by the fact that there's no break, number one. Number two, with the words Vayihi Yemei Yaakov Shnei Chayav Sheva Shana V'Arba'im U'Ma'as Shana. So the Torah is saying it's coming to fix his comment. How you Eila Lo Rak Megurav Shemiyit Behem Chayim Ella Kol Yemei Megurav Alei Adamos Hayushnos Chayim. He didn't just live on this earth. He wasn't just passing by the years and just living and not achieving and accomplishing, that it was Migurav. It was Chayav. He lived. And says of Hirsch, his tafkid was Dafka to shine through those challenges and trials and tribulations. Yaakov himself said, I had such a rough life. I didn't really accomplish anything. So the Torah is saying over here, Chas v'shalom, kal v'chomer, punfaker. Exactly the opposite. It was specifically through clinging to his faith and clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through those years of challenge. That was exactly what begot him, what he bequeathed to the nation of Israel. And it's specifically through that he became the father of the Jewish people. And that's why we're called the B'nai Yisrael. And I think that there are so many very important lessons for us in this. I think many times people in life, they feel, again, I clearly only speak for myself in this, but I have a sneaking suspicion if these are feelings that I have, that other people share them with me also. I think all of us frequently go through life wondering, we're not accomplishing anything. We don't feel like we're accomplishing anything. We don't feel like we're achieving anything. We feel like, we run out to a shiur here, we try and go to a shiur here, set aside a few minutes of learning there, try to do some chesed here, try to treat our families, our wives and our kids with respect, try to build a Jewish life for ourselves. And at the end of the day, I think I always lament the fact that, God doesn't give report cards every day, at night. You don't have a report card that comes down at night and say, well, today you got an 85. Today you got a 90. Today you got a 60. You failed today, you got a 50. It's very hard to know. And I think that most of us, if Yaakov Avinu, or a person saying, Yaakov Avinu, and Paro asked him to give an accounting for the days of his life. What does it mean, the days? Again, I pointed out before, the days of his life means we're going to have to account not just for every day, for every minute. We believe that every minute, every day is supposed to have value. And when Yaakov looked back at his life and he said, what did I really do? What did I really accomplish? How much I really, this is Yaakov Avinu, the father of the Jewish people. So I think there's a very important lesson for us. Yes, as Jews, we have an obligation to make use of every moment, to make use of every day. But if we try hard, if we try our best, if we try to do it, even though we might think that we're not really achieving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the bigger picture and realizes that when we do try to make use of every minute, make use of every, even those small few minutes that we have here, we try to chop a little bit, and we have to work hard to make a parnasa most of the day where we're spending time working hard and we can't really be involved in those activities, maybe those spiritual activities that we would like to be involved in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machshuv that as well. That struggle to just look at, to chop those 5 minutes, to chop that half hour, to chop that hour, to chop the time on Shabbos, to grab the time when we do have that time. The fact that we do grab that time for service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for tefillah, for Torah, for tefillah b'tzibur, that should be hopefully a lesson of chizik. So as I always say, it's both things wrapped in together. We have to realize Yimei Shnei Chayai, the great people. And again, I focus on this every Shabbos morning. Every Shabbos morning when I say those words in davening, that's when I focus on this theme. And I gave a shiur about this a few years ago. Limnos Yameinu Kein Hoda V'Navi Levav Chachma. What is a heart of wisdom for a Jew? Limnos Yameinu, to count every day, to count every moment. Being a Jew, that's what's so incredible about being an Orthodox Jew, being a committed Jew, being a religious Jew. What's so incredible about it is the incredible potential that every moment has, pregnant with opportunity for achievement and growth and closeness to Hashem and change and development. Every moment. Every moment. We treasure and value every moment of life. Every moment has opportunity. Every moment has value. Right? Even if a person's sick and he can't achieve, he could still do something. He could still open up a sefer and say, and learn something. He could still help somebody out. He could still say a kind word to somebody. I just paid a couple of shiva calls this week, right? Some people at the end of life, who have the opportunity that we you live for your grandchildren. You live to be able to say something, to say a kind word to your grandchild. That has value. That has meaning. Lemnos Yameinu, Yaakov says, Kama Yamei Shnei Chayai. We believe that every moment is pregnant with ability. So I think that that's a little bit of the theme of Yaakov at the end of his life. One little side point over here, Chesed ve'emes, right? Rav Hirsch has a beautiful idea, I think, on Chesed ve'emes. Next pasuk. So Yaakov feels his time is ending. He calls Yosef and he says, I want you to swear to me, I don't want you just to do me chesed. Don't just do chesed. I want the chesed to be tempered by emes. Rav Hirsch says, a lot of times people do chesed, but it's not real chesed. It's not real chesed. What does that mean? Take a look at what he says. Chesed karov le'eshed. Classic Rav Hirsch philological analysis. Philology is the study of words. For those of you who are wondering at my verbiage. Chesed karov le'eshed. Chesed is close to the, you know, Rav Hirsch does this every day, all the time. He's worried about the words. He's a philologist. Chesed karov le'eshed. Lehishtapech. To pour out. Chesed means to pour. Mikan lehismaser kulo ofiani ofiane hadavar. Heach hosafas ve'emes shomeres al hamusag amiti shel hachesed. So here we can understand how emes tempers chesed. Kach. Kol orchos Hashem chesed ve'emes. Pasuk in Tehillim. Ha'adam lo pam yaser ra'os meirov chesed. Sometimes too much chesed is bad, says Rav Hirsch. Too much chesed is bad. What do you mean? Too much chesed is bad. What's bad about too much chesed? Chesed has to have boundaries, has to have limits. What do you mean? Chesed ve'emes hi ahava. Shemeirov his masters lo sishkach es ha'ikar. Don't forget the whole point of what you're here for. It's the kind of people that say, that go to a shiva house and say, I'll give my own take on this a little bit. The kind of people who find the chesed opportunity and say, call me for whatever you need. Call me for whatever you need. I'm there for you. Whatever you need, call me for. No one's calling you when you say that. Call me for whatever you need. I had a good friend recently who lost his wife. Dear friend of mine. Young guy, my age. Friend from college. You know, I think I mentioned this in one of the previous shiurim. So he just recently got remarried. And he said that in the 2 years that he had five boys, lost his wife. And he said in the 2 years, he said a lot of people offered him, you know, just call me, anything you need, just let me know. And of course, he never called any of those people because, you know, nobody wants to lower themselves to have to ask people for help. Nobody wants to. But he said the people who did the most meaningful chesed for him were the people who didn't ask him, you know, what do you need? Of course, they didn't do it in a way, they asked him, but they did first and asked afterwards. In other words, he said there was one family that made sure that he never had a Shabbos meal alone just with his children. Never. One family in 2 years made sure there was never such a thing as he had a meal alone. Now again, they didn't just do without asking, because you can't do without asking, because then you're going to do something that the people don't actually want. But they didn't say, call me whenever you need something. They said, this is what we're doing for you. Are you okay with it? It's different. We're saying, this is what I'm doing for you. You know, are you okay with it? You know, we're providing, you know, I'm sending this over. Are you okay with it? You know, as opposed to, that's kind of thing about chesed with emes. In other words, it's not just, you know, I'll do everything for you. Yeah, I'll do anything for you. I don't think that's exactly what Rav Hirsch is talking about, but a lot of times you have people who just, they go too far with doing chesed. They go too far, and they just want to do everything for you, and they do things maybe on the other end where they do too much, and you're not really interested in that chesed. There's people who do things that you're just not interested in. So the chesed has to be tempered with emes. Like, make sure the chesed is going to actually reach the intended consequence. It's not just you giving chesed, but it's the person receiving what they want to receive also. You know, let's see what he says. Adir Chefzo Shel Avram, this is his example. This is the example of Hirsch gives. Avram wanted to marry off his son. Ach, ilu haya kol lahut. Achar mishela zu achiyem maskim lahasiyo gam l'isha she'eno hogenes. Right? Just get married. I just want you married. V'mikish lo yimtze basuk hamat ima lezer Avram mibchina ruchanidu musarit. Ki az lahaya zachesed shel emes. Emes yitamit t'nai hamagbil asachesed. Emes has to be a condition that limits chesed. Like Avram Avinu could have just married, he just wanted his son married off. So he'll marry her off to whoever, just as long as I find a body. Obviously, that's not a chesed, that's magbul emes. Yaakov yodea yafek yosef yikbar es aviv b'chala pe'er hefshari. Yaakov knows that his son is going to bury him with pomp and circumstance. Ach, hu omer meirov chesed, al tishka chesa emes. Do me a favor. Spare me the regal, royal, fancy Egyptian funeral. Spare me that. I know you might think that you're doing me a huge chesed by having the entire Egypt present at a royal, regal funeral for me. That's not what I want. I want chesed tempered by emes. Bring me to my real home. Bring me to the land of Israel and bury me over there. That's chesed ve'emes. It might be a smaller funeral. It might be less kavod, so you'll think you're not doing me such a big chesed. I'm telling you, that's chesed that's mixed in with emes. That's where I want to be. That's my homeland. Further, he says, Ulam nira ki asib amuka od yoser. There's even a deeper reason for this. He lived for 17 years in Egypt, and he didn't want the Jewish people getting too comfortable in Egypt. He didn't want the Jewish people thinking that Egypt was going to be their future homeland. Egypt had a lot of, delicious physical attractions for the people, and he was afraid that they would consider Egypt home. So he said, do me a chesed ve'emes for the future of the Jewish people. Bury me outside so that my people who are going to have to be slaves in this land for hundreds of years will know this is not where it's all supposed to end. You got to remember that there's a land of Israel that we're supposed to be headed to, and that lesson certainly is very, very relevant and important for us today. Chesed ve'emes. This is not the end of the story. As comfortable as we might be here, as successful as we might be here, we're supposed to remember this is not the end of the story for us. We're supposed to be looking towards that time where we're all going to pick up and move elsewhere to be in the land of Israel, to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where Yaakov also said, do for me a chesed ve'emes. Emes meaning this is going to be the truthful future of the Jewish people. Let's continue. So, so he takes Menashe and Ephraim, and he takes Menashe and Ephraim for brachos to Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov says as follows: "Vayomer Eli, pasuk dalet. Hashem appeared to me and said, 'Hineni mafricha v'herbisicha unisaticha lekahal amim.'" God comes to Yaakov in a dream, and he says, "I'm going to multiply you, and I'm going to make you into kahal amim. You, Yaakov, are going to be kahal amim." What is the significance of kahal amim? Va'ata shnei banecha noladim lecha. Ephraim and Menashe are going to be like tribes, Keruvim and Shimon. What's going on over here? Says Rav Hirsch. Ella. Kefi shekvar ha'arnu sham hare. Habitui kahal goyim. Kan kahal amim. What does this mean? Rabosai. This is a theme that I have learned with you and I have repeated to you over the last 12 years, countless times. Countless times. And in Parashas Vayechi, Rav Hirsch, with these verses, and also with the whole main topic of Parashas Vayechi, which we're really not going to delve into, and that is the individual blessings that Yaakov blesses each one of his children with. Right? That's the main theme of Vayechi. I didn't have time to go into the 50 pages that Rav Hirsch talks about. What does Reuven's blessings mean? Shimon's blessing, Levi's. I just decided to talk about those blessings, Begadol, which is one of the most fundamental themes to me in all of Judaism, frankly. And it's my raison d'etre. It's what I talk about day in and day out. And Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shekivanti, Rav Hirsch Mamish says exactly the idea that I constantly stress about this all the time. Yaakov blesses each of his sons. And what does he say to each of his sons? Some of them he doesn't quite exactly bless. Some of them it looks like he's cursing. He's not blessing. He's not even saying, what's he doing in this Parshas Vayechi before the end of his life? He says so beautifully, of her says, each of you, my children, have unique, special, individual talents. I don't want all of you to dress the same way. I don't want all of you to act exactly the same way. Each of you has a different tafkid, as we're going to see. Take a look. Let's look at what he says. Let's look at what he says. What does it mean, kahal amim? I'm going to make of you a community of nations. Koveil amze es tuudaso ha'ufyanit. It's unique individual destiny. It's the nature of its destiny. Alav lahakif rav gavnuniyot shel shvatim. I want my people to encompass a multicolored and multifaceted nation of tribes. Hashonim zeh mitchun asam. Who are most different one from the other in their natures. Toch kidei shmiras ha'achdus hamalei'ah hanotzeres ayidei ha'tavkid ha'echad ha'mishutav. However, this distinction and differences among the paths of each one of you does not detract for one moment the unity of dream and goal that I want all 12 of you to have as one unified, multifarious people. Imze yatzeg et am hachaklaim, ve'et am hasocharim, et am hachayalim, et am hamadaim, scientists. Ke'am lemofet yafgin le'ein kol, ki hatafkir ha'echad ha'mishutaf, L'chol adam u'l'chol uma, kafi shenitgale b'torat Hashem, einenu talui b'mishloach yad u'v'tchuna miyuchedet. To be a part of this people, and as a matter of fact, Rav Hirsch is going to say, that's the job of the Jewish people as a symbol to the entirety of mankind. It could be Chinese and Japanese and Egyptian and Russian and Italian and Spanish and French. Ultimately, when Mashiach comes, all of the nations of the world with all of their different cultures and backgrounds are all going to be able to be brought under the tent of Ovdei Hashem. Va'alu Moshiim b'har tzion l'shpot es har esav, va'yisal l'Hashem hamlucha, va'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, b'yom ahu yeh Hashem b'chad u'shmo achad. Says of Hirsch, the reason why God wants 12 tribes amongst the Jewish people, some of them leaders, some of them rulers, some of them scholars, some of them workers, some of them businessmen, some of them shipbuilders, some of them soldiers, whatever you might need to build a nation, this is the way we are, the Orel HaGoyim for the world, to teach the world that even though you're different and come from different places, you can all serve God. You could all be part of that great players. That's what the Achdus of the Jewish people is all about. We're supposed to show that the businessman can serve God, the doctor can serve God, the Rebbe can serve God, the rabbi can serve God, the soldier can serve God. We're all part of Am Yisrael. You don't have to have a certain specific function and a certain specific nature to be a Jew. Ela, klal ha'enoshut, bishlal gavaneh hamrubim, Timsa et Yehuda b'midah shaveh b'tafkid ha'echad ha'mshutaf l'kol. Ha'chaluka l'shvatim shonim, the division to different tribes. U'chetotza'a mikach ha'chalukat ha'aretz l'shvatim eila, she'yishamru b'yichudam, hi harumuza kan. All of this is hinted in the words, kahal goyim. You're going to be a community of nations. Rak, or kahal amim, excuse me, thank you. Rak kitotza'a mimena yesh chashivut ladavar she'efraim u'menashe yiyu l'shnei shvatim yuchadim b'ladeh akol hevdelei hatchunot hayu b'telem b'gush hamlucha shel klal ha'uma. That's why he's saying this right now as he's designating Ephraim u'menashe as part. You know, he's not just throwing Ephraim and Manasseh into this mass lump called the Jewish people. No, Ephraim and Manasseh are Shvatim. V'gam ha'aretz ha'isa mischalekes l'uma b'klala v'lo shvateh. Had this not been true, the land would just be divided up to the whole nation as one. To me, this is such an important lesson. And I would dare say, even though I'm being recorded, I would dare say that I think that this is a lesson that modern Orthodoxy has assimilated a little bit better than some of our Haredi counterparts, I would say. Believe you me, I believe that there are a lot of things that we have to learn from the Haredi community. But I think in this detail, I think that we do a better job at understanding the unique gifts and potentials of each child. And we don't force every child into the same cookie cutter to have to be the exact same way. We encourage our children to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways, and it's okay to go into a different profession. It's okay to do this. It's okay. Not only is it okay, that's l'chatchila. That's the way the Jewish people are supposed to be. We need soldiers. We need soldiers. We need doctors. We need milkmen. We need everything. That's part of being a Jew. And that doesn't detract from the achdus of the Jewish people. Chas v'shalom. That's exactly part of it. In the last few moments that we have together, I just want to share with you a couple of quick shots from Rav Hirsch. Some quick, beautiful shots. Quick, beautiful shots. Ready? Hold on to your seats for the last 5 minutes. One. Yaakov says to Yosef, Re'e panecha lo pilalti. Very strange word. Re'e panecha lo pilalti. Where is that? Where's Avi Shraya when I need him? Pasuk Yud Aleph, here we go. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer on page 142. Vayomer Yisrael Yosef. After this emotional meeting. Re'o panecha lo pilalti. V'hinei hara osi Elokim gam ezarecha. So Rav Hirsch understands this word palel. And he wants to understand the word palel because the word palel has a lot of very importance and significance for our person. Because if he understands what the word palel means, maybe he'll understand what the word lehis palel means. To daven, lehis palel. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that I commented the last tweet that I tweeted 3 weeks ago when Rav Hirsch made this comment on, and my rule with Twitter, by the way, is I only tweet Torah. So if you follow me on Twitter, you're not gonna have to suffer with what I ate for breakfast. You're only gonna hear Torah on my. That's my rule with Twitter. I only tweet Torah. I only use it as a mechanism to spread Torah. That way, I limit myself to what I put on there. But anyway, so my last tweet was where Rav Hirsch made this comment, eschewing. Tefillah that's just, you know, that's just all about your own personal thoughts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not such a fan of that kind of tefillah. I thought maybe he was maybe this I'm not gonna put on the recording, but I think Rav Hirsch was trying to send a little bit of a message about prayer, about what appropriate prayer or not appropriate prayer is. A little bit of a chiddush to me that Rav Hirsch took that approach. But here he stresses once again the exact same thing. The exact same thing. Listen to what he has to say about prayer. I think it's very in vogue now to look at prayer as this spontaneous display of emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Hirsch is not so excited about that. Let's see what he has to say. Palal karov lebalal. L'achdir alachom u'davar mibachutz, to take something from the outside and mix it in. V'chein litzar mimenu chomer achid kibalal b'hora muchashit kein palal b'hora ruchanit. L'avi yisod ruchani el chug rayonot o nesibot. L'hachdir aleihem rayon, emet, ikaron. To drill into you a truthful idea from outside yourself. Not to take it from inside yourself. L'chaber ul'achir otam al yidei hayisod shuknas al tachan. Mikan paleo masa hashofet, right? V'nasan biflilim. A judge, what does a judge do? V'nasan biflilim, a judge takes a code of ethics or morals or laws and instills it to a situation. Nimtza his pal. So first of all, he says, what does Yaakov mean with the pasuk over here? Lo pilalti. I could never have dreamed that I would ever have seen your face. He says to Yosef, lo pilalti. I could never have. It's such a foreign. Palel always means taking something foreign and bringing it in. So lo pilalti means this idea that I would be able to see you was so foreign to me, I could never have possibly dreamed or imagined it. That's the way Yaakov understands pilalti. And what Tfilah of hers says? Nimtza hispalel lahachdir et atzmo barayonot elokiyim. You'll have to read it on your own. I can't read this whole thing to you right now, but you're going to have to read it on your own. Basically, of hers says that tefillah is not spontaneous thoughts and feelings that you have inside yourself that you feel like you want to just spew forth to God from inside you. That's not prayer, says Rav Hirsch. Hispalel means to realize there's a God outside of you and there's a God who wants to be approached in a certain way and there are certain themes and ideas about spirituality and about godliness. There's a certain respect that you have to have when you walk into a shul. There's a certain formula. There's a formula of prayer that we're supposed to, and we're supposed to take that formula and find our own personal expression within that formula. Prayer is not you just spewing forth rub dub dub thanks for the grub, yay God. That's not how you bench. That's not how you bench. It's not this spontaneous you do what you want to do. Prayer means service. Prayer is service. Prayer is recognizing there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu up there. Again, it's kind of like Chesed Ve'emes we said before. There's a way to do it. There's a way to approach. And he seems to be reacting to this, you know, spiritual. He's reacting a little bit to this spiritual independent movement of people who want to just express themselves spiritually in whatever way they feel like expressing themselves. Says Rav Hirsch, that's not Judaism. That's Avodah Zarah. That's Greek. That's celebrating yourself. Prayer is not supposed to be about expressing yourself. It's supposed to be subjugating your will to an Almighty. It's supposed to be connecting to somebody who's outside of yourself in a very specific way. I know these words might be a little controversial in today's day and age, but you can read Rav Hirsch yourself. Don't take my word for it. Read what he says. And again, I don't have the strength right now and the time to go into the whole thing, but in this little paragraph, that's what he says palel means. Taking something outside of yourself and connecting to that which is outside, not just taking yourself and saying whatever you want to say. And finally, he says, what's the blessing? V'yidgularo, we should be like fish. Why like fish? And you're going to have to do the last one for homework. It's really, actually, really beautiful. The very last piece relates to what I really told you the whole idea before already about how each of his kids, he saw a different talent in and he blessed all of them. You'll have to do that for homework. And I urge you to read up on it, the very last piece. Hey, Kavtsu v'shimu, right before he gets all his kids together. But v'yidgul arov, Rav Hirsch points out, you don't find anywhere else in Chumash v'yidgul arov. He blesses his kids, you should be like fish. Why are we blessed we should be like fish? So Rav Hirsch says so beautifully. You go to the ocean, you look out of the ocean, you look out, it looks like this calm, peaceful ocean. Nothing much going on in the ocean. Nothing where you could just look at it, go out to Atlantic Beach, go out to Long Beach, just look at the ocean, just look at it. It doesn't look like there's anything going on. But just now, take a scuba, go scuba diving, look underneath. Oh my gosh, there are a million things going on. There's fish, there's plants, there's big fish, small fish, there's big fish eating the small fish, there's a reef, there's plants, there's life, there's so much going on under there. But you look into the outside, it looks like nothing's going on. So as a first, that's the Jewish people. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be under the radar of the world, but we have our own entire unique ecosystem that is us, that what it means to be a Jew. We have Torah, we have mitzvot, we have, the whole world looks at us and they're not supposed to see us. We're under the radar. They don't need to know all the details of what's going on with us, but we live a separate, special, beautiful, productive life, separate from the world. We're a part of the world, we're on the world, but we have our own unique ecosystem, and that's the way it should always be. When the Judaism is flourishing, v'yidgu larov b'kerev ha'aretz, says Rav Hirsch, we should flourish like the fish. Just let the world leave us alone. Let the world leave us alone to flourish with our own sub-echo culture underneath. And hopefully Hashem should bless us that way, that our Judaism should be strong and flourishing like the fish in the sea underneath the radar. The world shouldn't have to know all the details of what's going on with our unique ecosystem, but we should continue to flourish, and each of us in our own way. And hopefully we should be zocheh to that time when the whole world will finally recognize us and realize that we don't have any negative business with the world. We just want to be an orla goyim about how to flourish, to be godly people, to be people who respect all the nations of the world. May that day come soon when we'll be able to say, "Vayasal Hashem Amlucha, Vayasham Lamelch Al Kol Aretz, Vayomu Yashem Achadush Malachad." Hopefully that day will come. V'hirav Yameinu, Amen V'Amen. Does somebody want to say Kaddish? Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. We're both saying next.